Good afternoon, everybody. We're so glad that you're here. Are you glad to be in church today? It's great to see you. You watched Mayweather beat McGregor. Please stay awake with me now. Why they would have a fight that late, I have no idea. We want to take a moment, and I know there's a lot of folks joining us online and a lot of folks from Texas. And so, especially for the folks who are joining us in Texas, we just pray right now that the Lord would bless you and keep you, and we pray that you'd be safe, and we want you to know that you have folks here who love you, and we're praying for you. Would you welcome all of our guests, especially those from Texas, with us online, praying for you. And now I want to honor another. This is going to be a message full of blessings. Are you open to that today? You're like, no, I have too many of those. Nope. So we're going to begin by, I just want to say a prayer and a blessing over our teachers. And I know for most of you, school has started. And so if you're a teacher or part of a faculty or staff of a school, or if you are a student, college, junior high, high school, elementary, would you please do me a favor and just stand and stay standing and let's recognize them. Yeah. Yeah, stay standing if you wouldn't mind. And now that I have you standing, we just love you and we support you and we care for you. And I just want to speak a blessing over you. If you would be willing to just put your hands like this, like you're going to receive a gift. And as you're there, and let me speak this over you. We just pray that in this new school year, may the favor of the Lord our God rest upon you. May he establish the work of your hands. And as such, may this be the year that you make his light known to all of those around you. As you beat the odds and ace the tests and win more ball games and cheer loudly and love one another and defeat temptation and befriend the lonely and respect your teachers and study hard, may you teach the child that has been unteachable. May you love the child who has been called unlovable. May you stand firm for Jesus and walk courageously and teach with passion and inspire creativity and have the most productive parent-teacher meetings you've ever known. May your work, your study, your words, and your actions, may it all be for the glory of God, and may you grow as Jesus did in wisdom, in stature, and in favor with God and men. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen.
Amen.
Amen. We love you, teachers, students. Proud of you. As we speak this blessing, and what a gift as a pastor that I get to every week speak blessings over you with no real authority over your life, but the servanthood nature of being a pastor, I do have this wonderful gift from God to be able to speak a blessing over you. There's nothing in your relationships that's more important than the words that you speak to one another. Words will build you up. Words can tear you down. And when our kids are little, we say, now sticks and stones will break our bones, but words will never. That's not true. Words stick with you forever. I was 6 years old. I was in the passenger seat of a blue 1968 Camaro. Yea, verily I say unto thee, I'm feeling God right now. I was with my uncle. My Uncle Jim had the Camaro. My Uncle Tom had something else. I was with my Uncle Tom, and he turned to me, and he looked at me, and he said, you're quick. I'm 6 or 7 years old. I am? I didn't know that. Why in the world would something like that stick with us? Because words matter. And unfortunately, there's been something in your past, like mine, other words that other people have spoken that can stick with you too, that might not be so encouraging, that want to define you. Words matter. And the words that you speak in your home set the atmosphere of your home. You want to change the air. You want to change the atmosphere in your relationship. Change your words. Watch what happens. You want to change the atmosphere in the office? You're like, change the people in the office. Well, change your words. Change what you speak in your relationships. The way that we relate to one another, our words are so important. I mean, we think about ministry or churches. I think about in the 80s when there were so many ministries that were falling apart, and you think of scandal. More churches have been destroyed by words than by scandal. I really believe that. Our words matter. And now I've forgotten to do it again. I've got to go back. Hang on. Pretend I didn't say any of that. But let's go back. Right here. And I just got done saying the blessing over the teachers. Remember that? And now I'm supposed to say, we really love you teachers, which we do. And this past Serve Saturday, we were in a number of schools, and we just wanted to bless teachers. And I want to show you a recap of that video. So check this out.
At our most recent Serve Saturday, we went into the community to serve 11 local schools and help teachers prepare for the upcoming school year. We did everything from painting bathrooms to setting up teachers' classrooms. One teacher who was served happens to also attend here. She said, "I've never been the one on the receiving end of giving. I've always been the volunteer at church. And to be the one receiving valuable time and effort from other people was such a blessing. I finally understand that overwhelming feeling people feel when we do our outreaches, and it has just motivated me to be a part of even more future outreaches with the Vineyard." Serve Saturday is an easy way for the whole family, young and old, to serve our community together. We are already looking forward to our next Serve Saturday on September 16th. Join us from 9 until noon with optional lunch afterward. Serve Saturday, outreach for everyone.
Would you help me thanking all the folks that made that happen in 11 different schools? Man, fantastic. My grandmother on my mother's side had a problem with her words. Truth be told. And our entire family on my mom's side suffered the consequences. There was years, decades really, where I was separated from my grandparents because there was a family that was so full of venomous words. It was just words. They couldn't, some of you come from families like this where there can be a falling out over one simple thing. You go to a family meeting and a family gathering, and your family gathering on your way home, what do you talk about? Do you chew everybody up on the way home? And then do you wonder, are they now chewing me too? This was a family that way, and it took my grandmother and all of her children, eventually over the decades, it decimated the relationships. When my grandmother was in her 80s, she found herself pretty much alone because her words had destroyed every relationship that she had. She was dying alone. And I'm going to finish this story, if you'll remind me at the end, the way that video went, who knows if I'll remember or not. And I'll tell you the conclusion of that story. Our words matter. And in your relationship, in your home, with your family, your business, in your work, who you are as a person, what we say matters. We're going to look in the book of James today. James is Jesus' brother. How'd you like to be Jesus' brother? You can imagine Mary and Joseph at one point looking at James saying, "Why can't you be more like, he's the Messiah, that's why." James didn't believe in Jesus while he was on the earth. It was only after he died and was resurrected that James believed and confessed that Jesus is the Messiah. You can understandably difficult to believe that your brother is also the Messiah. But he becomes a church leader. And in his leadership, he's very practical. As a matter of fact, the book of James is like, compared to the book of Proverbs, it's so practical in its wisdom. And you can feel the pastor's heart as he writes. And it's very practical and very helpful. And that's the way it'll be, hopefully, today. And maybe just a little bit painful, because we're talking about your tongue and our mouth and our words. And there's not a single person here, if we're completely honest, that doesn't have some or a lot of regrets in this area of our life. James begins in chapter 3, verse 2, where we'll start, and he says, "For we all have stumbled in many ways." We all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. He's here beginning by saying, it's tough to bridle your tongue. It's tough to not say the first thing that comes into your mind. Can I get an amen from the men in the house? And you can pay, right? He's saying if you find a person who can control their mouth, their tongue, their words, you found a mature person indeed. Let me warn you, as you're making new friends this school year, students, as you meet someone and you're deciding whether they're going to be close to you or how close they're going to be to you, a friend, a new friend, if they talk to you in demeaning ways about other people that are not there, they are talking about you to others when you are not there. A gossip is a gossip, amen? So say, man, I thought we weren't supposed to judge. No, if you want somebody to be close to you in your life, you need to judge the character of that person and see if there's someone. I mean, listen, if someone is surrounded by drama, it started with their mouth. And the problem is their mouth. And the reason we live in such drama is because we don't have control over our tongue and we don't have control over our fingers. And if we think it, we tweet it, and it might not even be a complete thought. It's half-baked. It's just out there now. Stop, for the love of God. Step away. Don't press send. Shut up, right? But we don't expect, some of you just want to clap like, I am so sick of everybody. Yes. Don't worry, we're going to get to us too. If you find a person who can control their tongue, they bridle the whole body. But Proverbs says, beware of people who incessantly talk, because there's a snare in there somewhere. Eventually, you just keep talking, you're going to say something wrong. When you're angry, you can be angry and not sin. But it's harder than it sounds, because as soon as you're angry, close your mouth. Right? Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. That means be quiet. Don't add anything to it. As soon as we had in our house for a while a tone jar, tone. And if your tone was bad, because you could be saying the right things, but your tone is off. You know what I'm talking about. And it seemed like in our house that the tone was escalating. Everything, I'm like, what are we doing? You know, it's just like, boom. And so you had to put a quarter in the tone jar if your tone was bad. I just encourage you to do that if you want to just suffer, okay? Because then you've got your little kids coming to you, Dad, tone jar! I'm like, get over here, you know? Oh, it was so tough to control and bridle the tongue. Your tone, how you say, and what you say. And if you can control that, James is saying, you can control the whole body. He goes on in verse 3, now if we put the bits into the horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. Here he's trying to help us understand the power of the tongue. And he's saying it's such a small part in our members, but it controls the whole body, even the course of your life. I've told you the story of how one time I had a layover in Fiji. There's worse places to have a layover. And so we went, and it was a long layover, and you know, so we went to the beach and got on these nasty horses. They were just seemed unkept, these horses, but they're like $20 and you ride these horses. They didn't have a bit or bridle, barely a saddle. They just had a rope, and we got on them, and the worst part was all they wanted to do was run. We were like Lawrence of Arabia on the beach, you know, trying to ride these horses. But the problem was they didn't want to stop, and you had to pull on the mane. Dude, this is an unsettling situation because this horse can do with me whatever he wants. There's a whole lot of strength I'm riding, and I'm pulling the hair of this horse. I'd much rather have a bit. If I would have had a bit and a bridle, I could have pulled even the slightest bit back. And then, see, that bit goes into the mouth and controls all of the muscles of that horse. Every bit of its power can be controlled by a small rod in the mouth. And your life, too. Controlled by your words. This is a good time for me to ask the unsettling question, how are your words doing? One of the scariest scriptures in the Bible is that every person will give an account for every idle word spoken. How many of you are thankful for the grace of Almighty God in your life? You're going to need it, yes. But the fact is, as believers, such a small thing, but really controls the destiny, controls our relationships. And then he says, like a large ocean liner, but really it's controlled by the smallest of rudders. In the earlier service, I said udders. That's not true. That's utter nonsense. Sorry. Boo. I said, that's under a cow. We're not talking about that. But the rudder is a small part, just like our mouth, a small part, but it controls. What if even your destiny is controlled by the words of your mouth? Are you building? Are you tearing down? Are you blessing? Are you encouraging? Do you just bring people down so that they'll be down at your level? It is in my insecurities that I tear someone else down so that I might then somehow look at them eye to eye. There's no need for you to tear anyone down. As a matter of fact, you should never say anything about anyone unless you would say it if they were there and you could say it in love. Some of you are like, well, I'd tell them this to their face so I can say it now. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I wish they were here right now. Well, this is a good rule of thumb. If they were sitting right next to me, would I say these things? You should never tear anyone down with your mouth. It's not healthy for you. It's not healthy for us as a church. It's just not healthy for your family. Your words matter. Then he goes on, verse 5 and 6. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. Isn't that true? See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. Listen to what he said. Listen to what he says here. The tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. Like, dude, why don't you just come right out and say it? Here, James is alluding to the teaching of his brother Jesus. It's set in our members in such a way that it defiles the soul. See, what is he talking about? There was a time in Jesus' ministry when the Pharisees were gathered around and they were discussing the fact that Jesus' disciples didn't wash their hands, ceremonially wash their hands before they would eat. And they said, well, they're defiled, and how dare you not have your disciples following according to the rules exactly what should happen. But the Pharisees were not interested in their heart or soul being right before God. They were interested in making sure the outside of the cup appeared to be clean, though there was no real relationship with God at all. Throughout the Old Testament, the prophets would say, God would speak through the prophets and he would say to them, I'm tired of your festivals. I'm tired of you trying to get it right. I'm tired of you even fasting and trying to do all these things perfectly. Your mouths say something, but your heart is not with me. So Jesus says to them, man, it's not important what is going in. You guys are so concerned with what's going into their mouth, or their hands are clean, or all this ceremony, this pomp and circumstance. Jesus actually told them, food goes into the mouth, then it goes to the stomach. I can see the disciples going, yeah, so far so good. Where are we going with this? And then Jesus said, then it is eliminated. Like, can't argue with that. But it's what proceeds out of the mouth that defiles a man. They were talking about food that's connected mouth to stomach and just your body, the mortal life. But Jesus was saying what comes out of you reveals your heart, the immortal. What comes out of your mouth is more important, he's saying, than what goes into your mouth. Because out of the heart comes all kind of evils and adultery and all the things that we see. James is alluding to this by saying that the tongue, a small member, sets things on fire. Isn't this true? In our families, in our life, the words that we speak, blessing or cursing. James goes on to say, we've tamed all of these animals, but who can tame the tongue? Then he sums it up in verse 9 and 10 and says, now with this tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we also curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessing and cursing, my brethren. These things ought not to be this way. You hear the pastor saying, oh, I mean, we come into church and we purposefully sing wonderful songs and we bless the Lord all with, you know, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. You need to bless the Lord with your mouth. You need to say, let the redeemed of the Lord. It doesn't say let the redeemed of the Lord think about it. It says let the redeemed of the Lord say so. So we declare, I want his praises to always be in my mouth. I want to say glory to God and hallelujah, and we need to. We come together and we sing and we worship, and it comes out of our mouth and it gives glory to God. How are you saved? You believe in your heart, but then we confess with our mouth, right? So we do all this, and James is saying, it's good we come together and we bless, and there's this fresh spring of water that blesses God, and then we tear one another apart with that very same tongue that we just used to bless God. It's like there's this spring of fresh water, but then all of a sudden it's not fresh anymore and it's not clean. He's saying, may it never be. Our words matter. So we're deciding to choose life and blessing or death and cursing. I don't know about you, but there's a time in my life where I cursed a lot. Just look straight ahead. Some of you are very nervous right now because you have a past too. I'm not offended when I hear people drop bombs. I'm not offended. I was the same way. But I know there's something going on in their heart. It's not just the words of their mouth. But now I want to be somebody who is a blesser of other people. I want to be an encourager of other people. I want to have the right words come out of my mouth. Did you know they did a study in workplaces that if you cuss a lot at the workplace, the fellow, although they might not say anything to you, your coworkers actually think you're dumber than you are? Or maybe they think you're dumber. I don't know if you are or not. But they think you're not as intelligent as you might be. Just from cursing. You don't have to think to curse. You have to stop and pause and think and consider and love and to really control the tongue. But to just spout off, anybody can do that. The Bible says a fool vents his anger. Well, I just need to get this off my chest. That's the world's way of thinking, not God's way. We think in terms of blessing. Blessing means God's favor and protection. To be someone who speaks a blessing over other people, over the situations of your life. God's favor and God's protection. Matter of fact, we miss something nowadays because we take words so lightly. We take words and what we speak so lightly. In the Old Testament, it was common, the blessing that even a father would speak over their firstborn child. It was significant. It was like palpable, like something was going to happen. They needed and wanted this blessing. You remember the story of Isaac is going to bless his firstborn son Esau, but Jacob steals the blessing. Jacob conspires with his mom, and now this is what's great about this story. Esau is an outdoorsman. He's a hunter. He's hairy. Are you with me right now? And so Jacob, to steal the birthright, his dad Isaac is laid out and can't see very well. So he's going to go into his father and be blessed, and he's going to pretend like he's Esau. So he puts on all of Esau's clothing, and then he takes a lamb's skin, furry side up. How hairy do you have to be? He puts it on his hand and on his neck. Dude, shave your neck is what I'm thinking when I read that. Come on. You've seen those guys that get that shave line right here? It's sad. Anyway, never mind. You should read the Bible with me sometime. It's quite fun. He goes in with Esau's clothing and this fake hair all over to steal this blessing. And when he comes into the room, Isaac is there. He can't see very well. And he says, ah, the smell of my son, which I'm like, gross, you know. That wasn't cologne, folks. Like, I know that smell, it is terrible. So he goes and let me feel your hand. Oh, yes, my hairy son, that's you. I'm paraphrasing. Jacob wanted this blessing. And his father spoke this blessing over him. Genesis 27, he said, may God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness, an abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. As a matter of fact, Esau came in later, unaware of the treachery of his brother and his theft. And his father couldn't give him the blessing. He'd already given the blessing to Jacob. And we read that now and say, well, just say another blessing, you know? Just repeat it. Because we don't value the blessing like they did in Scripture. Dads, you have a blessing to speak over your children. You have a blessing to speak over your marriage, over your business, over your life. There's power in the blessing. Here's what I want you to do. Two things. First, accept your right and responsibility to be a blesser. Just be a blesser. I've got a friend in my life, a real close friend from Texas, who I've realized over the years that I've known him, at the end of almost every text, every conversation, or sometimes just randomly in the middle of the week, he'll say, man, I'm believing God for good things for you. What's he saying there? He's saying, I'm trusting the Father for your favor and your protection. We talk about family and finances and business and life and relationships, but at the end of the conversation, brother, I'm believing God for good things for you. You know, I've started to do that very same thing. It's a blessing. I found myself writing more and more cards to people. I want to be an encourager and a blesser, somebody who speaks that blessing over people's lives. I had a friend who last week started a church. They had built up to launch this church in Texas, and his first weekend, they had 700 people there. 50 people got saved. First weekend of the church. Isn't that awesome? And man, I couldn't wait to get on the phone with my brother and encourage and exhort and believe. Man, that's just the beginning. And God is with you, and he's faithful. And the same God that brought you there, man, God's with you, and we're just talking, we're encouraging. Be a blesser. Be a blesser. And I would encourage you to begin speaking blessings over every area of your life. Let me be very practical with you. I've been fortunate to be in ministry that allows me to be home in the evenings. I've made it a point to tuck my children in. And children need a routine. They need to go. This is just me now. There's no scripture for this. This is Rob 3:16. It's not infallible, and it's not infinite, and it may not even matter to you, but I think kids need a routine, and they need to go to bed at the same time every night, and they need to bathe. I think we'd all agree on that. And we would go through this routine. And there's security in their heart and soul when there's a routine. And when we're there to tuck them in, we speak a blessing over them. We pray with them. And we just speak over them. We would tell our daughters, we stole this from somebody years ago, and we would say, you're a beautiful, wonderful child of God. You're a beautiful, wonderful child of God. And every night we'd say this and we'd tuck them in. Now they're 20 and 17 and I can still look at them and say, you know what you are? And they roll their eyes and say, yeah, we're a beautiful, wonderful child of God, but our friends are nearby, so move along, you know. But it's in their heart. I tuck my son in and I speak a blessing over him. Son, you're going to serve others. You're going to be an encourager. Everything that God wants you to do and become, that's what you're going to do and become. And he's with you. And he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. We have a blessing to speak over our children. We have a blessing to speak over our home. When you wake your children up in the morning, start it with a blessing. Play the right kind of music in your home. I know I'm meddling with you right now because most of us in the mornings are like, ah, it's school, at you throwing waffles at a, eat it, I don't care, you know. Eat it or pick it up off the floor, throw it away, let's go. I understand. There are those mornings. That's what grace and repentance is for. Some of you on the way here today, it was not pleasant. It wasn't Christian. It wasn't like Jesus, you know. And I get that. Speak a blessing. Speak a blessing over your marriage. Speak a blessing over your marriage when your wife is there, when your husband is there. Speak a blessing over your marriage when you're not around one another. Why would I have a close friend that I would speak ill of my wife to? When we're one in marriage, I can't harm her without harming myself. I can't throw mud without myself getting dirty in this situation. You following my drift here? And some people form relationships outside the marriage and they gripe about their mates. Don't let that be said among us. Bless your wife. Bless your husband when they're not around. If you have an issue, you go and you talk to them. I'm really in the middle of your business right now. Students, listen, talk well of your parents. And watch out for those who speak ill of their parents. If you have friends who are always bad-mouthing their parents, they're a rebellious person, and you need to keep your distance. But you watch the favor of God on your life when your friends start talking ill of their parents, and you bless your parents with your mouth. Watch how God's hand will be upon you, and the favor of God will rest on you, and people will recognize that in you as different, as honorable. Bless your parents. Bless your business. Bless your home. Speak blessings over it. I had a guy this week who emailed me and said, we're starting this business and can somebody come and pray? And I said, absolutely. We'll come and pray and say a blessing. If you're starting a business, if you're a business owner or a business leader, even if you've been at it for a while, listen, email me. Rob King. It's all one, no dots, dashes, anything. Just Rob King. @vineyardcincinnati.com, and I promise you, you have my word, we will have a team of people who will come and pray a blessing over your business, because God wants to bless your business. He wants you to be blessed. He wants you to speak that over, and we'll come and we'll do that. Speak a blessing over your life. See if it doesn't change the atmosphere in your home as you change your words to honor him. Now I'm going to finish the grandma story. Woo, I remembered. All right. My grandma is in her 80s. She's alone in an apartment. Almost everyone of a large extended family has been offended, embittered, and the relationships severed. Some of you come from families like this. My mom and dad, good Christian people, feel led by the Spirit of God, filled with His Spirit, to go and see her, which was not an easy thing. A lot of water under the bridge, a lot of other stuff too, as Dylan says. They reestablish a relationship with her, and then they feel like the Lord wants them to take her into their home. You better hear from God on something like that. You will be tested. And they did. They took her into their home, and the relationship was, it was miraculous. They took her to get her hair done. And they took her to Cracker Barrel more times than they'd care to number. And they told her about Jesus. And in her late 80s, my grandmother gave her life to Jesus. And it's been 11 months ago that she passed away, 89 years old. But the beautiful thing is that at the funeral, my mom stood up and she spoke life. You know, I stood there in front of the family at the funeral, and I hadn't been in this situation where I'm doing a funeral and seeing so many of my family members. They hadn't been at any of the churches where I had pastored. And when you look out of a crowd and you see aunts and uncles and cousins, you know you can't bullhorn these people. They know what's up with the family. They know the history. God was so gracious, he gave me a great message on forgiveness, wouldn't he? We laughed and we cried and we spoke blessing and we spoke life and hope. And it was in complete contrast to the destruction that words had caused before. There's life and death in the power of your tongue this week. I pray that you would choose brand new. Start again. Speak life. Would you stand with me? Thank you, Father. Here's what I want to do, no surprise. Actually, the Lord told Moses to instruct Aaron to tell the priests to speak a blessing over the people. My job as your servant and pastor comes with no real authority, except this: I can speak a blessing over you. And so if you're willing to receive, I know teachers are receiving a double blessing today, so you need it, and that's good, students too. But if you're willing to receive it, I'm going to end with a benediction where I'm just going to speak a blessing over you. We're going to trust that God's going to do great things in our lives, and you hold your hands like this and receive it. I just pray that the Lord would bless you and keep you this week, that he'd make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. I pray the Lord would lift up his countenance upon you and your family and give you peace. May God provide your every need and keep you safe in him as you go. May you this week speak words of blessing over every area of your life. And may you see the favor of Almighty God in everything you put your hand to do. I speak peace over your home, joy in your heart, and love in your relationships like never before. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.